Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Trinity Sunday is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Set things in order. Be encouraged. Agree with one another. Be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is our text. Dear people of God, Luther told us to find Christ on every page of Scripture. If you are reading your Bible and you think that the passage you're reading is about Jesus, it probably is. Well, I went looking for this Trinity Sunday, and I found the Trinity in places in the Bible that I was not expecting. We all saw him in the book of Genesis chapter 1 when he said, "Let us make man in our own image." That's not super obvious, but we who know and love the Trinity can clearly see our God in the presence of the plural pronoun us. That is the Trinity God. In Matthew chapter 28, it's much more obvious when Jesus says that we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Very clearly, our three-in-one God. We often sing from Isaiah chapter 6, where we echo the angels in heaven who do nothing but sing and shout back and forth to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Three holies, one God. Now, as I've warned you in the past, don't put too much emphasis on the numbers of the Bible. They are there to help you, to comfort you, and to wow you. They are not a secret message or a secret code or anything like that. But whenever you see a three in the Bible, it should make you think of the Holy Trinity. We hear it every Sunday at the end of our worship, when we use the same blessing that the Lord gave to Moses for his brother Aaron to put on the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. That's clearly a blessing from the Trinity, the three in one God. Now, our text for today has another blessing from the Trinity in it, one that we use often. And this blessing we call the apostolic blessing. And it clearly has a three in it. Paul just jumbles up the persons of God as they were seen from the apostles' point of view. And so he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That's how the apostles saw the Trinity. They saw Jesus, Christ, the Son of God, as being first. Well, of course they did. They lived with him and they saw him every day. In Matthew 28, Jesus sees it differently. Jesus sees the Father as being first and deserving all glory. And he said as much many times in his ministry. And of course it doesn't matter, because as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, in the Trinity, none of the persons comes before or after. None is greater or inferior, but all three are co-equal and co-eternal. You can list the three persons of the Trinity in any order you want. It's all the same to him. But it was natural for the apostles to see Jesus as first. And so again, Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." That grace is the undeserved love of God that we love so much. There is no reason why the Lord came into our world and died upon that cross for us. He just did it. He loves us only because he loves us and had mercy on us. It's very much like the numbers thing. Don't go looking for more. Don't go trying to find a reason that God loves you. Just enjoy the fact that Jesus loves you. Second, the love of God. That's clearly the Father. Now, this love of God is the same as the grace of Christ. It's the same undeserved love for you sinners. It's a love that made the Father act. He created the world for you. He sent his one and only beloved Son to suffer and to die for you. And he guides all things right now just for your sake. And then thirdly, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's obviously the Spirit who is in you, who makes you believe. All thanks goes to the Holy Spirit for you being Jesus' little lad. You did not choose him. You did not make a decision for him. It's he who chose you. And then there's more. For this fellowship from the Holy Spirit draws us into the rest of our text. We heard verses 12 and 13 there also in the middle, where it said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you." The holy kiss here is the kiss of fellowship. Now we shake hands, or we hug, or we bro hug. They kissed each other on the cheek. And this is not the current Arab kiss on the cheek that they do even to their enemies. This is the kiss of fellowship of the Word. They believed the same and they stood on the same. And they were willing to die for the same Word of God. "And all the saints with us," he says. We're all in this together. We are going to stand on the Word of God alone, no matter what they say, no matter what the world does to us. That is the essence of the Trinitarian apostolic blessing of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. But then there was this opening verse 11 here, and I find this verse absolutely fascinating. Now you have clearly seen the three of the closing verse, the Trinity in the apostolic blessing. But did you see the three in the opening verse? In fact, there are two threes in this opening verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And putting that together with the last three, that makes three threes. Now, is that a coincidence? I think not. This is clearly the Holy Trinity on parade. The two threes were this: rejoice, set things in order, and be encouraged. And then, agree with one another, be at peace, and the God of love again. Do you see it now? We'll go through that. Rejoice. This rejoice here has been translated goodbye or farewell. Well, how can a person farewell? You can only farewell in the world is if when the Father is on your side. Moses once prayed, "Lord, do not send us from this place if you do not go with us." A person can only farewell if they have the blessing of the Heavenly Father watching over us, his dear beloved people, guiding and directing all things just for you. Set things in order. This term is about fixing what's wrong. A holy repair, if you will. A restoration. Things were all messed up. Paul says, straighten up. But the thing is, the word is passive. We can't do it. Someone has to do it to us or for us. Repair. Be repaired. Be complete. This has also been translated from time to time as be perfect. Well, God doesn't ask for much, does he? Be perfect? I can't be perfect. And that's the point. Someone else has to do it for me. Well, someone has. And that someone is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He made us perfect in the Father's eyes by being perfect for us. You are in order with God. You are perfect in the eyes of the Heavenly Father all through Jesus' blood and righteousness. This first three ends then with the gospel command to be encouraged. Now the Greek here is one of my favorite words. It's the word paraclete. Be paracleted. Paraclete was a name used in the Bible for both Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but usually it's used for the Spirit. But again, Paul uses it in a passive way. It's something that's done to you. Be paracleted. Be encouraged. Be comforted. Or another way to say it is, have the Holy Spirit on you. Again, it's not something we can do. That's why this is a blessing. It's Paul's prayer for you. May you have the Holy Spirit on you and in you through his word and sacrament. And then there's another number three. And again, because the Trinity can be listed in any order, because none comes before or after any of the other persons, Paul lists it the second time in reverse order to mirror what he just said with the first three. He starts now with the command that we should agree with one another, be of the same mind. People in the church should agree with one another in everything. That's a tall order. We can't even agree on what county baseball team to cheer for. The only unity we have, and the unity that's most important, is the unity of, again, the Word of God. We agree on the Word. Not because we're so smart, but because of the blessing of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Only by the Spirit's work can we say God's Word is the Word of God and is the only way to salvation. Next, be at peace, Paul commands us. Well, that's a hard one. How can anybody be at peace in this world of wickedness and prideful rebellion? It can't happen in this world. The Lord promised us that there will be no peace in this world as a constant reminder to us that we are looking to get out. We are not trying to make the world a better place and a nicer place. We are looking to get out of it and to be with our dear Savior Jesus Christ in paradise. The only peace that the Christian can have is peace from God to us. And that's the peace of Christmas. Jesus came into this world to save us from the punishment that our sins rightly deserve. God no longer wants to punish you for your sins, but he would much rather save you in his Son. For Jesus is peace. He is the love of God put on flesh, come into this world to save you and me. Which leads us all the way back to the Father as the God of love and peace. The Almighty, eternal, omnipresent, Father of the heavenly lights loves you for no reason. He just loves, and he chose, and he cherishes, and he saves you. That's your God. The Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Find him all over the scriptures and rejoice that he has shown himself to you, even in your heart, as proof that you are his own. And enjoy the blessing of the Trinity. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.